Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
When you think of cannabis, you probably think of a little green leaf that you can consume in a number of ways. A gateway drug, a threat to productivity and health. But according to Berinder Rasodi, those associations may not cover everything that cannabis is and is becoming. With the impending legalization of marijuana in Canada, this country has a lot to learn. Berinder Rasodi heads up an organization called NICHE, the National Institute of Cannabis Health and Education. Its purpose is to create a suite of cannabis resources about its uses for chronic pain and a variety of other medical uses, its cultural uses globally, and how it can be used recreationally, similar to the way we use alcohol today. To talk about the changing face of cannabis, Canada becoming the first G20 country to legalize the drug, and to address many misconceptions, we sat down with Berinder Rasodi for a conversation that matters. Berinder Rasodi, welcome to Conversations That Matter. We're talking about marijuana and the fact that we are marching towards a date that the federal government has set to legalize marijuana in Canada. But it's not going to be a straightforward process. Tell me about your organization, NICHE. What does NICHE mean, and what is it that you're endeavoring to do?
The National Institute for Cannabis Health and Education would like to bridge industry and government to work together to educate and let Canadians catch up on the facts about cannabis. So we say cannabis, not marijuana anymore.
Well, you can call it cannabis, but I think the majority of people will call it marijuana.
Well, the majority of people are probably still in the same spot I'm in. When I took on this role, my kids were really proud of what I was doing, but I still haven't told my parents. So there's this awkwardness around it. My generation grew up thinking and being told that cannabis was a gateway drug. Those who smoked marijuana, pot, were going to end up on a couch for the rest of their lives, not accomplishing very much, which is not the case.
Well, I don't know if you remember that Cheech and Chong.
There's too many of those. Yes.
Who's there? Dave. No, Dave's not here, man.
Well, you know, we have an opportunity, and I applaud this government. Cannabis has been, since the beginning of time, a part of healing in many cultures. Mm-hmm. It definitely has proven itself not only for relief for patients with cancer, but even some younger people with issues around epilepsy, seizures, and other behavioral issues. And what we have to remember that as we're talking about a plant that provides not only medicinal benefits, but also recreational buzz, that cannabis is many things. It's not one strain. CBD is different than THC. So as government's moving forward, what we're recognizing at NICHE is that people have more questions than answers.
Yes, they do. One of them is this a wise decision for the government to be moving forward, considering we're going to be the only G20 country in the world that is not going to just decriminalize, but we're actually going to legalize marijuana. Does that not cause us some problems internationally, especially when you consider that we will then be in breach of certain UN resolutions saying we won't do this?
Well, I think what government is doing is actually going to provide more certainty, more safety, both for the public at large and for users by moving down the road of legalization. What we are doing in Canada is making sure that public health, public safety is number one, in not only in terms of what the task force recommended, but we're also going to have the conversation about legal age. We're going to make sure that we have a production, a distribution and retail system that provides you some certainty as we're used to as Canadians. We would not buy other things that are untested or unregulated. What government is doing, I think, is showing leadership. I know that Australia, Germany, just to name a couple of countries, are really looking at Canada. As the U.S. is doing it in a hodgepodge approach, I think the federal government taking this on is not only really progressive, but I think they're doing it in a thoughtful manner. We just now need the provinces and the municipalities to be a part of the conversation. regulation.
Well, and the provinces and municipalities are saying, well, hold on just a second. You've got a pretty aggressive timeline here. We don't think we can be ready to make sure that, as you say, safety is paramount and that educational programs are in place. Are we moving too fast?
Well, I think that there's provinces who are certainly a good example of what we should be doing. New Brunswick has not only created a working group of the various ministries and bureaucrats within their system, they've now assigned a chair of cannabis. They also now have a working group that's made up to deal with this. Their standing committee on cannabis legalization has already been throughout their province, and they're doing broad public consultation. They are working for and with the Center for Substance Abuse. Mm-hmm. From the medical perspective, they're working with their enforcement authorities, with their police chiefs, and they're meeting with their municipal counterparts as well. So I think each province is moving towards legalization in a very different way. One of the concerns that Niche is bringing up is that we don't want to have the same trade wars with cannabis that we have with wine. It's easier
or
to
beer.
Get, oh yeah, it's easier to get, you know, BC wine and overseas than it is even in Ontario. So there's all of the economic components of cannabis, and then there's all of the regulatory components of cannabis, but then there's also mm-hmm. all of the patient rights, and that, and we've dealt with that in the courts, and mm-hmm. we've heard very clearly what the courts say. We know very clearly that health professionals are going to cannabis more and more for issues like anxiety and pain relief. Mm-hmm. So I think that the provinces have an opportunity here to have a model that, like New Brunswick, to set up in place and go, and it's a date 2018. We've known it for a while.
Yeah, but it's still pretty close. And to put into a regulatory and an enforcement framework, because if we're wanting to talk about, say, okay, we live in the Wild West right now when it comes to marijuana consumption. There's no checks and enforcement on the growing and distribution of it. We don't know whether or not the product is safe and so on. To go from there to say, well, now we're going to have that in place. How do we do that in such a short period of time?
Well, I think it's pre-prohibition and post-prohibition. I think there's a pre-prohibition cannabis community that has been providing product illegally. I think the public have valid concerns around the safety of that product, or how do you incorporate the illegal black pre-prohibition into prohibition? Well, we did it with alcohol. It's not like this is the first time we're at this gate.
Yeah.
And we recognize at Niche that once the legislation is in place, that it will take time. It will take time for all of the pre-prohibition market to move into the post-prohibition market and to be properly regulated and to have retail stores that are authorized, licensed, checked by health authorities and municipal licensing bylaws officers and all of those things. But I think the important thing is you just have to decide to do it, and this was the right time.
I understand all of that, and I go, you know, what was the course of human progress? We tried, we made mistakes, we learned from that. We didn't stop moving forward. But you know as well as I do, there's going to be many people who say, well, hang on just a second. That's a little too risky when it comes to a substance like marijuana. Shouldn't we, in this case, be a little more cautious? Because if we take a look at the example of alcohol moving from prohibition to post-prohibition, it was a messy process, and you could argue that it took decades to figure it out. Can we afford that here when it comes to marijuana?
Well, you're also talking to somebody who was a municipal councillor who was one of the loudest voices on regulating and making sure there were no dispensaries in the city of Surrey.
Yeah.
We challenged the federal government to give us the addresses of those who were producing for medical purposes.
They didn't do that anyway?
No. And you know what? In hindsight, it was really none of our business.
Really?
Yeah, because I'll tell you, I've had long conversations with the police chiefs and with fire chiefs, and I understand the need for all of the regulatory responsibility that needs to make sure that people are safe. But however, I think also now I've come a long way from watching people in my life cope with chronic illnesses, people in the last moments in a hospice. It's about not only the comfort and the relief and the medicinal use, but at Niche we also know that there's been a lot of professionals like Dr. Mark Ware and others who've invested a lot of their academic and research careers mm-hmm. into studying cannabis. And he's just one example here in Canada, but around the world. And what we do know is that alcohol has worse social and personal consequences for individuals than cannabis does. That is something that Niche would like to educate the public on, which are what are the benefits, what are the risks, and what does public health and public safety actually mean? We have great documented research done, but they're not in easy to absorb language for regular people like me.
Right.
So, and that's Niche's role. What we would like to do is not only educate the public on the facts, we would like to take research that's been done, put it in a digestible form, but we'd really like to support government and industry through this difficult time. Nobody says it's going to be easy, and you're right, it's going to take a few years.
Let's talk about exactly what it is that you're doing. Like, what exactly is Niche? Who are you? And do you already have this relationship with government, or is this something that you're still putting in place?
You know, we are a nonprofit. We work with government and industry and stakeholders. And what we have done is that we have engaged in conversation, how people engage nowadays, which is through social media, through attending conferences. I've had many meetings with the federal and provincial and municipal representatives. And really what we are doing is taking a relationship that I have out of a personal relationship because of my history, being elected and also being on the Fraser Health Authority. Mm-hmm. But we're also nurturing new relationships with industry who have, through either the new LP process, have invested millions of dollars and
meaning
research.
Meaning licensed producers, LP.
To the organic growers and the craft growers. Mm-hmm. We think that this is a natural role for us, as there's nobody in the space saying, listen, we all have a role to play in this. Industry, you can't be too aggressive right now because you have to let the rest of Canadians catch up, because people feel vulnerable when they don't understand something. Mm-hmm. And people, clearly, the polls may show that people support legalization, but I don't think they have a firm understanding of what cannabis is and what that means. And we have to say to government, there's a lot of moving pieces here. Mm-hmm. How are you going to deal quickly with DIN numbers so that people have equal access through their insurance programs? How are you going to deal with insurance companies who are saying, no, we're not insuring any facility that's either producing? Heck, what are you going to say to banks who are saying, you know what, we're not opening an account? And then on a trigger date.
Because they're going, stay away from me.
Date, July 2018, you're going to have this entire new industry open up at a push of a button.
Yep.
I think that there are going to be some places where things don't move as smoothly as everybody would like them to, but that's Niche's role. We're not a lobby group, but we are an advocacy group, and we are a group that is doing roundtables across the country with various boards of trades and with various governments, with the International Institute of Governance, with the Police Chiefs Association of Canada. And we want to have those conversations, because having conversations, just like your program here, is really important, and it's the beginning to good policy.
So all these different agencies, government and otherwise, they're listening to you.
You know, I think they're getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. They're listening to each other. They're listening to us. We provide a very neutral third-party approach to all of the material we did. We monitored the debate in the House, mm-hmm. And we did create a fact sheet, because there were some things that I think confused the conversation more than helped the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that people are listening. We're very active on social media, and you're going to hear a lot more from us.
How are you being funded?
We certainly...
Because everything costs money.
You know what? I said that yesterday, because there's great ideas, and the only thing that ever gets in the way sometimes is the money part. Mm-hmm. So we have a relationship with government, the federal government, and a couple of the provincial governments. Uh-huh. And we do have a membership base. So what we do with industry is you take a membership out into Niche. We have a members-only area on our site. We do webinars. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're teaching industry how to work with government and the public as well. They've been working in a bit of a silo.
Right. So health and education being the major components, it's education to producers, it's education to government agencies. But I can hear the average person saying, yeah, but how are you going to educate my teenager about the potential risks associated with consuming too much marijuana? And there seems to be a growing body of evidence that suggests that as a teenager, that if you do this, it will have a definite and permanent effect on you from a neurological perspective. So how do we get that message through?
With any substance, there are definitely risks, and for sure cannabis at a young age, I think for some, can cause some very significant psychosis type issues. And that's why, you know, we applaud the government for setting a date, like with other substances like alcohol. What we say to the general public is, that's what we said to government, is it's confusing. If mm-hmm. I, as a mom or district parent advisory council chair, goes to the website, you're going to get 10 reports that are anti and 10 that are for. Mm-hmm. And you'll leave more confused than you came to the computer with.
Yeah.
So we'd like to be, and we are, the certified third body that takes all of the information that's out there, provides a library of content. We know Health Canada has just put out a great booklet mm-hmm. About warning kids about the risks of cannabis. That's now in every doctor's office. And so government's doing their job. We just want to be the one-stop place for good information on cannabis legalization.
So what's your position about the fact that most provinces have said, well, we're going to make the legal age for cannabis consumption the same as alcohol consumption? So it's a different age in different provinces. But there are many in the medical community who say that's too young when it comes to a drug of this nature.
You know, I think that it's, this is one place there's quite a similarity, which is, you know, I often say to people in a room, everybody who waited till the legal age to drink, put up your hand, and there's very few hands that go up in a room. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the availability, whether it's regulated or not, kids still get their hands on alcohol, they're going to get their hands on cannabis. Mm-hmm. And I think educating them is very, very important. And I think legalization allows us to do that because it takes it out of the taboo realm and it'll put it into the classroom mm-hmm. and kids will have more education than they would have if we hadn't legalized.
The thing that I know about smoking, because I did a whole series of stuff about smoking, like the best delivery system for nicotine is through your lungs, because
yes.
it gets to your brain in 7 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with THC in cannabis. Mm-hmm. It's, but you're smoking. Couldn't we regulate that you don't smoke at least? We know that smoking anything is not good for you.
I think that'll be the second phase of the conversation in Canada. I think that tinctures, pills, edibles, again, they're all on the market in Canada and available, but they are going to need to be a part of the conversation at some point. At this point, the oils and edibles are not.
Mm-hmm.
But I that is one of the challenges government's going to have, is you're going to have patients who are now going to be prescribed cannabis,
yep.
But you're going to have municipal bylaws that don't allow anybody to smoke anywhere near what would be convenient.
Right. So there's some. You can't sit out on the balcony of your apartment because now you've got this odor that wafts up and invades your neighbors.
And you can't smoke it in front of a hospital, and you can't smoke it in front of the cancer clinic. So I think those are the type of conversations that need to happen, and those things need to be discussed. I think we're going down the right road by legalizing, making public health, public safety number one priorities, and as we get down into actually the implementation piece, that's where everybody's going to have to work better together.
It's such a complex field. You know, you touched on the fact that if I start a marijuana business, even when it's medical marijuana, I'm a licensed producer, I go to the bank and say I want to open a bank account, the bank goes, I'm not interested, because they know that it's going to affect their international business dealings in places like the United States or China. They wind up on somebody's radar screen and they don't want to have anything to do with
it. Do you think it's that or the fact that it's illegal in Canada still?
I think that the banks have indicated that they're concerned about how it can affect them internationally because of what we touched on earlier about the fact that what we're doing now is we're stepping outside of, I think it's three UN resolutions that we have signed on. And so we are now saying, not only are we changing the rules here, but we're reaching out beyond our borders and saying, it affects the way we deal in different jurisdictions. And if you're a large international organization, it can have consequences. And so I'm wondering, as somebody who might want to invest in that, if I have other dealings that take my business outside of Canada, does that not put me in a position where somebody might be questioning me in a way that they wouldn't have if I weren't invested in a business like this, even if it is legal in Canada?
Well, I think that you've touched on something which is really important here. We're not only needing to change laws and regulations, we're needing to change attitudes. Mm-hmm. And I think that in 2018, once Canada's down the road of legalization, other countries will take a look and want to not only do it for the benefit of their citizens, mm-hmm. but they'll also want to do it from an economic perspective, right? This is going to technically be close to $1 billion industry.
No, I heard
clean,
more like
sustainable jobs.
Like multiple billions of dollars.
Well, their numbers are out there and they're big, but I think Canada will be a leader in changing attitudes around the world.
Right, and there is confusion as to whether or not this actually will be a gold rush. Like, there's a whole bunch of people who say it is, and yet it's my understanding that you look at some of the people who want to get into the medical marijuana business, you know, 2-3 years ago, and they started to go down that approval process. They invested a lot of money to get nowhere. So it's not going to be easy.
No, and it shouldn't be. Right? And to be honest, it's like any other business, it's like any other investment that you'll make. It's going to require effort and hard work, and you're going to have a really solid plan. And for those who fall off early, maybe they'll take another look at their business plan or look at what they wanted to achieve out of it. Mm-hmm. But I think because it is something that you're providing that's going to be consumed, it should be something that's hard to do, and it should be something that people are watching very closely.
Well, as Anne McClellan said, it is a bold move, and so it will be interesting to see how it plays out.
Thank you so much
for coming in and having this conversation. Yeah.